The royalty of college football is in assembly.
Oh my gracious, him. How about that?
We just stepped on their face with a hot nail thinking rock their nose.
Quinzo strikes with a minute and a half left.
And welcome to College Football Country, the podcast. My name is Josh Parcell. I'm the founder of College Football Country, cfbcountry.com. Check it out, the voice of college football fans everywhere. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to tell your friends, download, subscribe, resubscribe, do all that good stuff. Just spread the word about the show. We really enjoy it. And today my guest is Matt Schick from ESPN. Brought him back this week to relive the glory days of ESPNU. Actually, you guys are really going to like this episode. Went a little bit of a different direction with the format of the show. It may remind you guys of an old show on ESPN. If you guys are real hardcore ESPNU fans, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's a lot of fun. We talk about the playoff. A lot of debate right now about what the rankings are going to look like. By the time this podcast comes out, there will only be a few hours until the actual rankings by the committee are released. But we talk more big picture about who's in the best shape for the college football playoff by season's end. A lot of great test cases right now, and there's a lot of great football to be played in the rest of the season, but a big weekend as well. This weekend, I'll be back on Thursday as well for Take the Points, our weekly gambling episode. Last week, not our best, 3-4-1 against the spread, but we're still 37-18-1 overall. So bear with me. We're not going to be perfect every week, but that's okay. And now I welcome back to the College Football Country podcast, Matt Schick from ESPNU, my old buddy. Also hosts the Campus Conversation podcast for ESPN. Check it out. They are covering college football every day. We don't have quite the same amount of time and resources over here at College Football Country, Matt. I'm just one person, so I can only get a couple podcasts out a week, but I'm bringing you on for even more podcast love. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, podcast infinity. Yeah, let's do this. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, man, of course. Well, I loved talking to you last time, and I wanted to change it up a little bit this week. And, you know, it's been a while. It was about a year ago this time. Every Tuesday, we would work on a little show called Power Hour.
Yes,
and it was a fun, short-lived but lasting memory show. We had 2 years, right? We had a 2 year run.
Yeah, really good run.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, it died a humble death this season, but I did want to bring it back for this podcast. So I thought we'd format the podcast like we formatted Power Hour.
Oh yeah, let's do this. I'm all on board. That was a very underappreciated show that I think would have been terrific to let keep going, but unfortunately we had to put a stop to it.
Yeah, well, it's going to live on today through the College Football Country podcast. We'll make it happen. So I'm just going to steal a couple segments from that show. We're going to relive the glory here. Let's start with how we started every show, with the top five teams in college football. I'll go second. I'll let you go first as the guest. I'll be the gracious host here. You give me your top five teams right now in college football. You can go 5-1, 1-5, mm-hmm. whatever you want.
I mix a little bit of eye test and resume a little bit. So I will say I'm not as glued to my top two order that I'll go with. But I'll go top 10. I'll go Bama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson, and then my 6-10, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Penn State, TCU, Miami, and Wisconsin. So those are my top 10.
All right. So you're giving Miami and Wisconsin enough credit. You're putting them in the top 10. I don't even have them in my top 10. We'll focus on the top five here for a second. But what makes you believe? I'm gonna come out and say it. What makes you think Miami is one of the 10 best teams in college football right now?
Oh, I don't even know if I do. Like, I think rankings, sometimes you put teams there simply because they've earned the right to be there. You know, what I like, neutral field, Miami, Oklahoma State, I'd probably take Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Neutral field, Miami and Virginia Tech. In fact, this weekend, I think Virginia Tech will beat Miami. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say Virginia Tech's a better team all around, but I'll put Miami in the top 10. You could say the same thing about Wisconsin. I think neutral field, Wisconsin, there are four or five teams ranked behind them that I would take above them, but I will give them credit for, you know, winning their games right now, and eventually they will slip up, whether it's before the Big Ten championship game or in it when they actually face a team.
Right, yeah, just a team.
Not even a tough team, just a team, yeah.
Well, man, I think it was last week that I saw the stat about Wisconsin where I think their average opponent rank in the Jeff Sagarin's computer rankings, which is one they used to use for the BCS, was 90th. The average team they faced was ranked 90th. I can't put a team like that in my top 10. I mean,
here's the deal. Let's try hypothetically, you know, Ohio State had the same exact schedule.
Yes.
And put the same exact scores on the board.
Yes.
Ohio State would be a top five team, and you probably wouldn't even blink at it. Let's just throw that out there. I mean, branding is a big part of it. What you've done recently, if you've played for national titles, been in the football playoff, win 10 games a year, those things are important when it comes to how you frame the frame of reference you're looking at teams by. The issue with Wisconsin is just they're just not blowing teams out the way I would want a top 10 team to do it. And that's the reason that, you know, I'm holding a lot back on Miami. They're just not, they don't have that, the look of a top 10 team. I mean, Wisconsin has what, 300 plus total yards against Illinois. They should have 500 yards of offense against Illinois. So those are the types of things that make you a little cautious.
Yeah, well, I mean, I go back to it was 2014, the first year of the playoff, actually, when Florida State was the defending national champions, and they looked like absolute crap every week. I mean, they were coming from behind, whether it was NC State or Louisville or whoever they were playing. I mean, they looked no part of a top four team. And I remember at the time, like I said it, and I know Florida State has branding. I still actually probably ranked them higher than they even deserved to be then. I probably had them as around five or six. But all season long, I said then, Matt, I said Florida State wasn't a playoff team. And then they made it to the Rose Bowl. And what happened? They lost by 40. And so I think your branding point is valid. I think if Ohio State was, or Michigan, which I think is a great test case, considering what they've gone through, if they had faced Wisconsin's schedule as opposed to the one they've had, how differently we would look at the Wolverines right now. But I get the
and part of it, and part of it too. Part of it too is the division they play in. You know, the Big Ten West. It's what Iowa looked like a couple of years ago. Right. You know, people just have these kind of images. You know, and then Michigan State. You know, when they finally sneak into the playoff, as you know, they're an okay brand. They're not a national brand. Then they get waxed in the playoff. You know, Iowa is kind of smoke and mirrors a little bit. Get waxed by Stanford. You know, those kind of things, fortunately or not, work against, you know, those Midwest non-brand teams.
Right.
That kind of works against a program like Wisconsin, even though every year Wisconsin is solid. They have a great defense every single year, but they're just, you know, their players are kind of nondescript. And then you work in the fact that Jonathan Taylor is a little nicked up, and you know, that throws a whole nother question into it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back to that Wisconsin discussion actually a little bit later, but I do, I mean, I agree with the premise there. I want to see them win games more convincingly. I know you can't control who you play, but you can control how you play. And I wish I had seen Wisconsin do a little more, and Miami as well. Miami to me is way worse, but we'll talk about that in a second. I'll go through my top five real quick, Matt. It's a little different than yours, that's a lot different than yours. The five teams are the same, but the order is pretty radically different. I've got Georgia one. I've got Georgia as the number one team. I mean, and I didn't until this week. I think the way, not that Florida is anything really to write home about, but I mean, Georgia's dominated every team they've played outside of Notre Dame. Who's my number two team? I think Notre Dame at this point, if you stack up game by game against every other team in the country, which I did, I actually had Notre Dame coming out slightly ahead at number two for the time being. I had Ohio State three, I had Alabama four. And I think Alabama is the best team in college football. But if I'm stacking up purely what they've done on the field so far, I have Alabama actually slightly below. And I'm not doing this to get attention. I know some people out there, I mean, probably want to rank Alabama a little bit lower just to get that attention. Let's be honest. If Alabama's playing, to use your neutral field theory, Alabama's favored against every other team in the country. No question about it. But I think that Georgia and Notre Dame and Ohio State have all looked better against better competition. And I think the big thing hurting Alabama, and this is the reason why I dropped them this week, was I can only hold on to that Florida State win for so long. And I give them credit for doing it with Francois. But at some point, like, how much credit can you give them as Florida State continues to get worse and worse? It's one thing if Florida State was a, you know, looked like an 8-4 team after the Francois injury, but now it looks like they're not even going to make a bowl. You can't give Alabama that much credit for that win anymore.
No, I don't. In fact, the Florida State win doesn't even register to me as why I would put them number one. I mean, it just doesn't. It's, I mean, if DeAndre Francois' injury is why they are the way they are, then he's the most important athlete in the history of sports. and that's why Florida State is what they are. Yeah. You know, my only issue with yours at this point, you know, when you think about it, when you're looking at best teams, it sounds like you are kind of conflating best and most deserving, and using different arguments for different spots, you know, because you've got Notre Dame at two,
right?
You think Bama is the best team in college football, yet you've got them four, but Ohio State has beaten one team with a winning record from a Power Five conference, and you've got them three. Yet Clemson isn't in your top four, and they've got six wins against Power Five teams with winning records and a good win against your Hokies, and they've got injuries. So they've had an injury at quarterback. So that would be my only issue with you. Like, the order doesn't matter right now.
Right.
It's more about just who is in there in the top four. And my only issue with what you've got, and you can use the argument about Bama if you want. I just, you know, I'm more of a, hey, I know what this team is. They may have a bad schedule, but I can't forget about what they've looked like the last 7 years. And they put their foot down right away. I mean, a handoff against Arkansas, the game's over. Damian Harris, 75 yards. I mean, those kind of things stick with you where the games are over fairly quickly. But Clemson would be my biggest issue with your four, them not being in there because of the one loss to Syracuse.
That's fair. And I think maybe I'm not giving them enough of a break for not having Kelly Bryant. But the reason I don't is because Bryant, while he wasn't himself, while he was in the game against Syracuse, they were losing when Bryant went out with the concussion. It's not like...
But he wasn't 100% when he was in there.
You're absolutely right. You're right.
Yeah.
So I understand that one to me is a pretty big toss-up. And I'm going to have something come out on my website on Wednesday where I compare these teams' resumes side by side. And Alabama and Clemson, to me, is neck and neck. I mean, if you compare their best performances of the season, Clemson's is better than Alabama's. Their win at Virginia Tech, to me, is the best performance Clemson's had this season. You could argue the win over Auburn. Those two are probably close. But on the road, I say the Virginia Tech win was a little bit better. Alabama's win over Florida State, to me, the Virginia Tech win is better for Clemson. And then Clemson has a better second best performance in that Auburn win over whatever you want to say Alabama's next best, whether it's the Vandy win or the Ole Miss win. While those were thoroughly dominant, I'm going to give Clemson more credit for beating a better team. After that, it's not super distinguishable between Clemson and Alabama. I mean, yeah, Clemson's beaten some better teams, but Alabama's won their games far more convincingly. I mean, Clemson won by 14 against Georgia Tech, 14 against Wake. The 26-point win against Louisville is nice, but Alabama's beating teams by 50 and 60 points. So to me, those are pretty much a draw. I actually gave Alabama just a slight advantage in my ranking because the Syracuse loss weighs Clemson down. But if you want to argue that, you know, Kelly Bryant wasn't himself, I get it. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and scream blue in the face about it.
You know, I think a lot of this too goes back to Ohio State. Ohio State has had the luxury of, you know, playing a five-game cupcake schedule.
Right.
And granted, Ohio State goes a long way in making teams look bad. And I get that. But after that loss to Oklahoma, they got to put the car in the garage and they got to work on it. And then they unveiled it against Penn State. And let's be honest about that performance against Penn State. For three plus quarters, it was sloppy for Ohio State. Very sloppy. And the fact that Penn State was up 21-3, like, I will concede that Ohio State, man for man, talent wise, is better than Penn State. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, after you've had 5 weeks to work on your game and you come out and you're down 21-3, you're down 11 in the fourth to a team that can't run the ball, that's embarrassing. You know, Ohio State, with what they had, should have beaten Penn State by two touchdowns with how that game was unfolding. Granted, there were some bad calls, but that is the only team that they have beaten that has a pulse. And it was by 1 point at home. And so I'm the kind of guy that will give far more credit to a team that has gone through a grinder like a Clemson.
Sure.
And has had to withstand things. And there's a reason a kid gets hurt. You know, I mean, it's a tough schedule. He's dealing with, you know, an ankle injury that he sustained against decent opposition. Mm-hmm. But the entire body of work, and we can compare best win versus best loss and all right. those things. But when it comes down to me for Clemson, I give them the benefit of the doubt with the injury to Bryant, with the stage on a Friday night, and the fact that, you know, let's be honest, when their quarterback is 100%, we have seen how they play, and they look like a top two, if not top three team in America.
Yeah.
And so those are the kind of things that I look at, and their schedule as a whole to me has been very impressive. And I cannot put Ohio State in the top four simply because of a win over what was probably the committee will determine to be a sixth or seventh team in America, mm-hmm. a 1 point win when they look sloppy. And you look at what, you know, Clemson has done so far, and the fact that even Oklahoma was able to go into Ohio State, albeit earlier in the season. I think the most fascinating thing about tonight is going to be not necessarily who's in the four, because I do think Clemson will be in the four. It's where's Ohio State relative to Oklahoma, and yeah. what do they – are the margins close enough that they go head-to-head? Because that's the only reason you go head-to-head is when the margins are slim and you do that. And Ohio State looks like they're better than Oklahoma, but Oklahoma beat them. So
yeah.
The fact that I've gotten into a Twitter spat with someone I don't know, and I hate doing it because it's just it's annoying.
It feels so productive.
But yeah, it's like, sorry, Cohen, my 7-year-old, I can't play with you. I'm arguing with this guy I've never met and I don't care about. But it's about, you know, the guy is an Ohio State fan saying, look, Ohio State looks better. They are better. Look, they pounded Maryland. Maryland, you know, talking about Texas and the transitive property with Oklahoma. And I go, look at each game individually.
Right.
Don't look at the entire thing. Look at each game individually. Go through it. And I am not at the point where we're seven or eight games into the season, nine games, that I'm ready to discount a head-to-head yet. I'm just not doing it. Ohio State might be better, but Oklahoma might match up better with Ohio State. And that's what it looked like to me in September.
Yeah. And that's what the committee will look at too at the end of this season when it's all, you have all of the data points all together and you have conference championships to consider. And that's when the tiebreakers will come into play as far as head to head is when all else is comparable, then you start working through your tiebreaker scenarios. And I think Oklahoma and Ohio State, if they both went out, I think they have a really good chance of making it, but we'll see. And I do want to talk about another head to head, and that brings me to our first segment here, is Bullshick, which we used to use, which was a great one for you. Now we're going to put the shoe on the other foot here, though, because normally on Power Hour, you would read the statement, and then Elika or Tom or Charles would weigh in and call whether or not it was Bullshick. I'm actually going to play the role of Matt.
All right.
You can be Tom or Elika, whichever one you want.
Okay.
So if I were you, I'd probably rather be Elika, but, you know, that's up to you. No, that's all right. I love Tom. So let's do my first one. And this kind of goes along the lines of something we were just talking about as far as head-to-head is concerned. 11-1 Notre Dame would make the playoff over a 12-1 Georgia. If it came down to those two, I mean, there's 100 other factors, but let's just say there's those two for the number four spot, 11-1 Notre Dame or 12-1 Georgia, assuming Georgia loses to Alabama and Atlanta.
How do they lose?
Let's say they lose. Let's say the line is 7 and they lose by 7 on touchdown.
I will say that's bullshit.
So you think Georgia would the head-to-head would carry enough weight? Georgia would make it in over.
Here's the assumption. Here's the assumption. The assumption is that Georgia continues to look like Georgia.
Right.
Georgia continues to pound people. Georgia's not beating Auburn by a field goal. You know, Georgia is not squeaking by Georgia Tech. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is if the Georgia I've seen continues to be the Georgia going forward, then I think they will go head to head. I think they would go head to head, and I don't think Notre Dame would beat out Georgia because of that. And let me also say this. I don't want to steal any thunder from a future question you might have, but I've said this repeatedly, and folks saying Notre Dame wins out, they're definitely in. There are so many scenarios out there that are being ignored for those saying Notre Dame wins out and they get in. And their schedule looks great. Their schedule looks great through the windshield. Let's look at it through the rearview mirror in December.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right about that. I think Georgia is going to have to look real good against Auburn especially, but Georgia Tech as well. Those games are real, real important for Georgia because – if you outside of that, I mean, the Mississippi State win looks nice. They beat Mississippi State 31-3, and the Bulldogs have kind of turned it around after that little midseason slump. But after that, it's, I mean, the next best performance is the Florida game. I mean, Vandy. I mean, after that, it's blowouts, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's nothing that's that special.
Yeah,
I mean, Notre Dame would have five or six wins that look pretty good.
Yes, they would.
If you now, consider Stanford and some of the teams they still have to play.
Here's what I'll say about that. Let's assume, do you think NC State will beat Clemson this week?
No.
Okay, so three losses for NC State.
Yep.
Where's NC State going to be ranked, you think?
Yeah, at best.
Next week.
In the playoff ranking?
Yeah, after they lose to Clemson.
Oh, they might not even be ranked. I mean, 20 to 25 at best.
Okay. Let's say USC goes to the Pac-12 championship game and loses to Washington. Where do you think they're ranked as a four-loss team?
15 or so. 15 to 20.
How many losses do they have right now, by the way?
What have they lost twice? Washington
State. Two or three?
Washington State and Notre Dame.
Okay, so they would be a minimum three.
10-3, yeah.
So they'd be a three-loss team. Mm-hmm. So they would be probably outside your top 15. Mm-hmm. Stanford is already a
two-loss team.
Two-loss team.
Almost three.
Almost three. It was almost three.
Yeah.
So the point of all of that being that I believe as an independent, Notre Dame is much more dependent on the teams that they play continuing to play well.
Right.
And continuing to win outside of those games. Notre Dame does not play on the final weekend when the committee is meeting. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame cannot win a conference championship. Notre Dame already has one loss. Those are three factors working against an independent. Now, here's the other thing. Notre Dame must continue. Is much more important for Notre Dame to look like Notre Dame now than it is for Georgia to look like Georgia. Simply because of their data points, you know, 12 games instead of 13, all of those things. And the chances of conference championships out there for other teams. So I think Notre Dame is one of the top four teams. I do not believe they control their own destiny.
That's a fair argument. It's going to be tough for Notre Dame if a lot of these other teams continue to win. Georgia is going to be the really interesting test case if that happens. And that's a very realistic scenario. I mean, Georgia, they have Auburn and Georgia Tech is always tricky for them, but let's face it, the Bulldogs should be 12-0 going into that SEC championship game, and if Notre Dame's hovering around 4 or 5, I'm going to be interested to see where Notre Dame is ranked this week, because I mean, while I have them 2, they're obviously not going to be 2. They'll probably be between, what would you say, between 5 and 10?
Which team?
Notre Dame this week, Tuesday night, which by the time this podcast comes out will be irrelevant, but they'll probably be between 6 and 10.
You think Notre Dame will?
Where do you think they'd be? Higher?
Oh, are you talking in the committee's rankings tonight?
Yeah.
Notre Dame will be top 5.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then.
So they're
going to slide down after. That's going to be where it gets really interesting.
Well,
Notre Dame's got good teams. Your point about their record slowly looking a little bit worse as they knock each other off and they lose games by the end of the year makes sense. But boy, I mean, Notre Dame's got a lot of big games ahead of it, and they're going to be in the top 5 to begin with.
It depends. And again, you know, the folks saying you don't think Miami is a top 10 team, then how can you say that Notre Dame beating Miami is this monumental win?
Well, I'd say it's monumental, but it's better than beating Vandy.
Oh, correct. Correct. So here's my point on this is, like we talk about head to head being kind of a tiebreaker when the margins are slim. Mm-hmm. Conference championships won are also that.
Right.
And so if Notre Dame is hanging there and they're being compared, and you know what? It's pretty slim with them in Ohio State. It's pretty slim with them in Oklahoma. It's pretty slim with them in, you know, who knows, a one-loss Washington in the Pac-12. These are pretty slim margins. Who's won conference championships? I mean, that's what the language says. And so that's why by the letter of the law, they need to separate themselves either by how they play or by their opponents and their strength of record continuing to be good, or it's by other teams taking another loss. You know, you either separate yourself on the field or in the win-loss column. And that's going to be really important for Notre Dame. I just believe it.
It's going to be – I mean, I'm as big a proponent as anybody of this is saying we don't count chickens before they're hatched, don't count wins before we see it on the field. But, I mean, the SEC is going to have a team in the playoff. We know that. Ohio State's going to have to royally screw up at this point not to make it.
Even if it's Wisconsin. Right. I mean, they're going to be undefeated going in. So the Big Ten and SEC are in.
They're locked in. Now you're opening yourself up to two spots. And, yeah, I mean, Clemson has a pretty manageable schedule. I mean, that's where it's going to get interesting. I mean, Notre Dame, they're going to be in a battle. And they're going to have a really good resume. And I think it's going to – we talked about this when we started the playoff. The moment the SEC gets left out or Notre Dame gets in over a conference champ, or even if Notre Dame gets left out and it feels like they should be in, is when we're going to start talking expansion. So that could be a conversation we have sooner rather than later. So, Matt, let's move on. We've got a couple more topics I want to hit on quickly. One more bullshit statement for you. Let's see. You know, I'm just going to go there. Virginia Tech has no shot at the college football playoff.
Oh, that's bullshit.
There we go.
And again, I am enunciating there. That is my last name. I probably got a little too excited earlier when I joined you about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, saying that Virginia Tech, even if they won out, they wouldn't have a shot. Now, you know, beating Clemson, let's flash forward and say they beat Clemson on a neutral field. I still think Clemson's win in Blacksburg is more impressive than Virginia Tech beating Clemson on a neutral field. But if the margins are slim, championships won, obviously Virginia Tech would get the nod. And there's so much we haven't seen yet. Like you said, we're prisoners of what we've seen, and we are like, ah, there's no way anything else crazy will happen. Of course it will. Teams will lose.
Right.
And all they need is a couple of, you know, maybe another league to have a two-loss conference champ. I mean, if they're a one-loss ACC champ, they're at least going to be in the conversation, and that means they can't be eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, they need a two-loss Big 12 champ. It'd be interesting them against a one-loss Pac-12 champion, which would be Washington. I mean, if Washington won the Pac-12 with one loss, I mean, Virginia Tech's resume would stand pretty favorably against theirs, assuming the Clemson win and a Miami win.
You want West Virginia to, you know, start winning a little bit.
You know,
last week was not good. You know, you want those types of things. If you're Virginia Tech, you want Miami to beat Notre Dame. Totally. That would be huge.
That would be huge on a lot of levels. I mean, that Miami Notre Dame game, if Virginia Tech gets through this week, would probably open the door entirely. Because I mean, that would be another one. We just talked about Georgia, and we don't have to rehash the Notre Dame thing, but a 12-1 Virginia Tech versus 11-1 Notre Dame, that's a real conversation, because Notre Dame would have a lot more good wins, maybe not the great win, but a lot more good wins than Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's schedule has been awful. I mean, outside of West Virginia and Clemson, Virginia Tech has played nobody.
They've got a kind of a Penn State problem, except that they can actually make the conference championship game.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Virginia Tech. So that's a great luxury.
Yeah. So that Miami Notre Dame game could be very important for them if they can get through this weekend against Miami. So let's move on. Last segment. We got a couple minutes left. I want to play Would You Rather, another fun game we used to play. I'll go with my first one. Would you rather be right now? Would you rather be Penn State or TCU? So Penn State, each team coming off their first loss. Penn State pretty much completely out of the mix for the conference championship, but in all likelihood is going to win out. TCU has a much tougher road ahead of it, but has a chance to win its conference if they can get through this gauntlet for the next 5 weeks. Who would you rather be right now if you wanted to have your best chance to make the playoff?
Much rather be TCU. Much rather be TCU. Yeah, I mean, the ability to win a conference championship. You got a game against Oklahoma coming up. You've already got one of the marquee wins of the year going into Stillwater and shutting down that high-powered offense. Penn State needs help. Penn State will not have marquee wins in the regular season. Penn State is more reliant on the eye test. I think TCU can get in it more resume-based than eye test.
I think you're probably right. Let's keep moving. I want to go quickly here. Would you rather be a coach against Nick Saban or be a reporter covering Nick Saban?
I would rather be I'd rather be a coach because that means I'm making a lot of money, right?
That's probably true. Yeah, like if you're gonna be like, on the other end of that, you'd rather at least be getting paid.
Let me be a coach because even if I get blown out, I got a big buyout coming my way. Give me $20 million. I'll go away. I just lost to Nick. That's fine. No shame in losing to Nick, but you get a viral video there with a reporter encounter, and I'm not making enough money as a reporter.
I mean, gosh, I don't know if he's bored or what, but it's becoming every week now where he's starting to go back into the same bag of tricks, though. It's like, okay, we've heard the poison line, Nick. We get it. Now, like, you got to come up with something else. He's got to find something to motivate that team. I mean, I have them ranked 4 right now, but I think this Alabama team might be the most physically dominant team they've had.
Dude, look, I said earlier in the year when Clemson was rolling, I said, I think Clemson is probably the number one team or deserves to be number one or might be the best team, whatever. But the team I would least like to play is Alabama.
No question.
And when you go to the Alabama versus Georgia card, I have never seen a quarterback who went to a national championship game and has what does he have? One loss to his name as a starting quarterback. I've never seen a guy like Jalen Hurts be so overlooked in the national conversation for anything. Mm-hmm. And that just speaks to how great that team is, right? That the quarterback has become, even he's a dual threat monster, he is so inconsequential because, oh, we got Tua Tagovailoa, we can win with a backup, we'd be fine anyway. I'm amazed at what they do. You look at them on the sideline, you watch them come off the bus, they are just a different breed. And you give me Alabama, I'll give you the field. And I am never a field versus Bama guy. I am always give me the field because at least I'm in the championship game. But goodness, I'll roll the dice with the Tide, and you can have anybody else you want.
Yeah, I think that Georgia, I've always been I've been a Georgia guy all year long. I think Georgia's really good. Not with respect to Alabama, I just think Georgia's always been better than people maybe were giving them credit early in the season. Obviously, now they might be the number one team. But outside of Georgia, I don't know you could put another team up against Alabama, and you could give me at least 7, maybe 10 points, and I still think I'd take Alabama against just about anybody else. I don't know who I think. If Alabama brings its A game, I don't know who's staying within a touchdown of that team this year.
And here's the biggest question on Georgia. What do they do if they actually face a legitimate team that can stop their or limit their run game?
Well, yeah, exactly. Fromm hasn't had to, outside of that Notre Dame game a little bit, he hasn't had to face the kind of adversity or the pressure to actually – Jake Fromm hasn't had to win them games.
Look, the run game opens up everything for most teams.
Right.
But it could open things up for Georgia, but they don't take the opening. He attempted 7 passes against Florida. 7.
Yeah.
In a related story, Jim McElwain was fired the day after. I mean, it's unbelievable what they are able to do. It's a monster they've got. So yeah. I think that would be fascinating to see, but I'd take Hurts. I'd take that experience. I'd take that dual threat nature and roll with it. But I'm with you. That SEC championship game can't get here soon enough.
Oh my gosh. I know. You tell me about it. So, all right, well, we got to run, Matt. That's all the time that I had. I'm glad we could relive Power Hour for a half hour. That was a power half hour, but we made it work.
That was fun. I was glad we could do that. Bullshit and would you rather, we got to, you know, I forget all the other segments we did, but I'm sure there's like a half dozen out there.
I was actually embarrassed at how few I could remember.
I know. Maybe that's why it's not on the air anymore. I don't know. I'm trying to think. We did we had the state your case cam where I had to state your case in front of that was a great one.
That was a year two invention too. We didn't even have that in year one.
Throw the flag and you had to go defend yourself in front of a camera. Oh my gosh.
We had the yellow challenge flag. I never understood that. Why we had a red flag in the building and we used the yellow challenge flag.
Yeah, we're doing a penalty and you have to defend yourself with the penalty. Yeah, I can always remember Charles Arbuckle having to sit in front of a camera and defend himself why Snickers was better than or Three Musketeers was the best candy bar or something like that. And I was like, get out of here, Charles.
Oh man,
no one's buying it.
Those were some good times. Well, we'll try and do it again maybe before the season's over, man. I love having you on. So thanks for taking your time and go back and you got daddy duty, so I'm sure that's more fun than this.
Yeah, one of my eight kids is running around. I got to go track him down.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks buddy.